cup. Ladies, just close your ears for a little while. Begins this weekend, and on Saturday evening, the family centre is going to be opened up for the men and ladies who would like to come along to watch the World Cup on the big screen in the youth room. And we're going to be open there from 7 o'clock on Saturday night, prior to England's match with the United States of America that will be starting on Saturday night at 7:30. So do come along, enjoy one another's company, fellowship, and we'll have enough voices left, I am sure, to worship the Lord when we get here next Sunday morning. We have designated this area, around this area, for the children. Parents, if you can please note that and try and stay there with your children. It does help us avoid as disturbance as much as possible. I think that's about all the announcements. We've been asked to pray this morning for a little girl, 4 years of age, called Darcy. Darcy has just been diagnosed with leukemia. And we've been asked to pray this morning for this little girl and her family. Let's do that before we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you said, suffer the little children to come to me. And don't stop them coming. And Lord, we brought children to you over these last few weeks, little children, who are in need of miracles. Thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, for them. And Lord, now another one's added to our list. We pray for Darcy, this little girl, Father, that is in desperate need of you to intervene in her life. We pray in the name of Jesus, Darcy, that you shall know the touch of God upon your life, and you will be made completely well. That all your bloodstream, all your blood system will be completely clear. And God, you will create a miracle in this little girl's life. Let her parents know that we've been praying. And let them know too, Lord, of the miracle that transpires. Because when we pray in faith, believing that we'll have the things that we ask for. And so we are believing, Lord, for good results for this little girl. We are believing that you are Jehovah Rophika over her life, the Lord our God who heals her. And so we are just lifting her, naming her before you, praying, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, this little one will be made completely well. Accept our thanks, Father, and we will give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, friends, we're starting a new series of ministry that's going to take us up to the end of August. And this series of ministry that we are talking about on a Sunday morning, whoever's ministering the Word of God, the title is How To. How To. And this morning we are looking at the subject of how to live under God's blessing. How many folks want to live under God's blessing? We all should want to live under the blessing of God. And there can be no doubt about it, friends, that it is God's will, it's God's purpose to bless His children. If you didn't know that, let me just emphasize it right at the commencement, that God wants to bless you, God wants to prosper you, and God wants to do each of us good. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 10, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. God's blessing over our lives. The book of Malachi, it talks about God pouring out His blessing so greatly that there will not be enough room in our lives to contain it. And there will be a pouring out from God, a filling up of our lives, and an overflowing. Jesus talked about good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God wants to bless His children. The Bible says that the blessings that were on Abraham might come, that all the blessings that Abraham had might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, through Jesus Christ. So through Jesus, we can know God's blessing, His tremendous favor upon our lives. And to live under God's blessing is to live under an open heaven. And this morning, I want us to understand the difference between a heaven, I'm not talking about the blue sky above, I'm talking about a place, a dominion, that is opened up for the child of God in order for his blessing to come upon our lives. And so I want to talk this morning and let us understand the difference between a heaven that is opened up and a heaven that is closed. I want to share a key also that I believe will open the heavens above our heads and cause us to live under the blessing of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, there are some tremendous instructions there about how God's people can be blessed. And then there are also some things written in Deuteronomy 28, and I would like you to read them at home because we don't have time to look at them in detail. Read them before you go to your life groups on Thursday night, or Wednesday night, or Tuesday night, whenever it is, or Friday night for that matter. In Deuteronomy 28, it speaks about the blessings that are the product of obedience, and also the curses that come through disobedience. In other words, obedience is the key that opens the heavens over our heads, whilst disobedience closes them. And we're talking this morning, our subject is how to live under God's blessing. Let's begin by the negative. If the subject is how to live under God's blessing, the negative side to that, if you like, is how not to live under God's blessing. We all want to know how to live under God's blessing. None of us really want to know what will stop that blessing. What will stay the hand of God from blessing us? What is it like to live under a closed heaven, where God's blessing is stayed from my life and yours, from our church, from our area, from our nation? What is it like to live in that condition? We need to turn to the Word of God for the answer. And in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 23, we read these words: "Your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron." And Leviticus 26 verse 19 says, "I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze." Heavens of brass and an earth of iron, heavens that are closed, produce no rain. And when no rain comes, the result is you have an earth like iron. There is dryness, there is drought, and there is famine. Heavens of brass, God says, and an earth of iron. Rain withheld, deadness, dryness, famine, drought. If we look at Israel's history, we find on numerous occasions that this literally happened when the heavens were closed, where there was no rain, where there was drought and famine in the land. And friends, an interesting thing, it happened whenever the nation turned its back on God. Whenever the nation turned its back upon God, God's judgment was the heavens will be closed above you. There will be famine, there will be dryness. When Elijah went to Ahab, he pronounced to the wicked king that for 3 years there would be no rain until his word. The reason Elijah could go to Ahab and pronounce those words, because Elijah knew that what God had said concerning a nation that turned its back upon God. And at this time in Israel's history, the whole nation had turned its back upon God. And when he went to Ahab and announced there would be no rain on the earth, all he was doing was referring to what God had said would happen to a nation and putting into practice what God had said to a nation that turned its back upon God. And remember, friends, there was no rain on the land until there was repentance. Elijah knew there would be no point praying for rain unless the people repented. And when that contest took place on Mount Carmel, there was repentance before the rain came. So the closed heaven over Israel was a result of disobedience, waywardness. In the days of Judges, when the judges ruled, we read the story of Ruth. And Ruth and her family, Naomi, her mother-in-law, and their family, the Bible says they left Bethlehem and they went to Moab because of a famine that was in the land. They went to Moab because of famine. One of the interesting things in the book of Judges that keeps keeps coming up time and time again, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And when the people turned away from God, God allowed famine to come, closed the heavens from rain. In the days of Elisha, in 2 Kings 8 and verse 1, we read of a famine that lasted for 7 years. David couldn't understand why there was a famine during his reign. And for 3 years, the Bible says there was a famine in the land. And David was inquiring of God, why is this? Because as far as David knew, he was living his life right before God. Why is this famine? And the Lord had to, when David inquired of the Lord reminded David that it was because of Saul and his bloodthirsty household and because of what they had done to the Gibeonites. You see, friends, whenever God closes the heavens, there's always a reason for it. There's always a reason why God closes the heavens. Closed heavens and an earth of iron are still God's judgment on disobedience. They were then. It's a principle that runs right through the Word of God. They still are today. Psalm 107, verses 33 to 34 says, He turns rivers into a wilderness, water springs into dry ground, fruitful lands into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Notice from a place of fruitfulness, of running streams, where there is no lack, God brings judgment. And that judgment means that dry ground comes instead of water springs. The rivers are turned into wilderness. The fruitful land is turned into barrenness. Why? For the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Whereas in Psalm 144 it says, happy is the people. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Any nation, friends, that turns its back on God and the laws of God, that nation's in for a rough ride. I guess that's one of the reasons why our nation today is living under the judgment of God. Let's make no mistake about it, friends. Our nation has got closed heavens and an earth of iron. We have turned away from God as a nation. And unless there is repentance, things will not get any better. And let me tell you, friends, that there is no political party that will sort the mess out that we're in. We are in a mess. And there is no political party will ever be able to sort it out. Because as a nation, we are under the judgment of God. Heavens of brass, earth of iron, deadness and dryness. Notice these verses in Deuteronomy and Leviticus are not just referred to the nation of Israel, but also to individuals. On several occasions in the Word of God, We read the people were called to make a choice between blessing and cursing, life or death. You know, friends, God's blessing can be upon individuals whilst his curse is on the nation. Caleb and Joshua are examples of that. They were living their lives right before God whilst God's curse was on the nation in the wilderness because of disobedience. Caleb and Joshua had to live through those years, but the blessing of God was still upon their lives while his curse was upon the nation. Notice in Deuteronomy 28 where it talks about these blessings that will come upon, there is a play upon the words you and yours. That's making it personal to me and you. Not just now to a nation, but to individuals. You shall be blessed with the fruit of your body. You shall know increase in your herds and the offspring of your flocks. You will be blessed when you come in and go out. Your enemies who rise up against you will be defeated. I will command the blessings in your storehouses. He will bless you in the land. So now it's not just talking about a nation. It's talking about individuals. It's the same for disobedience. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like brass. Every one of us here this morning have experienced those times when we have disobeyed God and we knew that the heavens over our heads were hardening. We knew something had come in between us and the Lord. Has anyone here not had that experience? When we felt the heavens like brass, the earth under our feet like iron, and we knew that something was happening, there was a distance between us and God. Isaiah says, it's your sins that have separated you from your God. And that's not just talking to the ungodly. It's talking to the believer as well. Sin can separate us from God. And whenever, friends, as individuals, we don't repent and we don't remove the sin that separates us from God, the heavens become brass. And let me tell you, we eventually suffer. Our families suffer. Our church suffers. And everyone we meet suffers as well because we are not in the place where God wants us to be. Long before the clouds begin to gather over our heads, the spirit within us, this spirit that we've been talking about these last few weeks, gives us a clear sense that things are not right. Things are not as they ought to be. See, friends, repentance is not a one-off experience. Repentance for the child of God is a continual daily experience. Repentance is not something negative. Repentance is something very, very positive. And we need to understand as children of God that repentance should be part of our daily walk with God, to keep short accounts with him. That when we feel the heavens becoming like brass and the earth like iron, there's always a reason for it, and we need to keep short accounts with God and do what John encourages us to do. If we confess our sin, if he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's unfortunate that many believers, they spend their entire Christian lives under heavens of brass. There are believers, friends, who seem to be living under a cloud all of the time. There was a cartoon strip several years ago by the name of Pogo. One of the characters in this cartoon strip, he always went around with a large black cloud over his head. And wherever he went, the cloud followed him. Wherever he was, there was this cloud over his head. Can I say, friends, that that is how it is for many believers? They continually live their Christian lives under brassy heavens and an earth of iron. And let me tell you, friends, that is not God's will. That is not God's purpose. That is not the pleasure of God for any one of us to live like that. And I believe God wants to remove clouds that come upon the people of God. And it needn't take for months. You know, for heavens of brass, for Elijah, it took a repentant prayer on Mount Carmel from all the people when they said, "The Lord, He is God." And a little while later, the rain started to fall. And whenever we turn, friends, and we repent, let me tell you, God's rain will always start to fall. His blessing will come again. It needn't take. The Bible says he turns deserts into springs and water pools. He turns barren places into places of fruitfulness. And it needn't take weeks or months. But repentance is the key. If we will do our part, guess what? God will do his. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and what did he say? I will heal their land. The deadness, the dryness, the drought would be taken away. The condition of a man or woman who lives under a closed heaven is described in the Bible this way: I will make your earth as iron. When the earth becomes like iron, it's figurative of dryness, drought, and famine. You know, friends, it's the type of land that the devil has access to. He begins to roam in these dry places. His activity is carried out in these dry and barren places. Jesus described his activity in Matthew 12, verse 13, when he said, referring to Satan, evil spirits, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, your adversary, the devil, he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." In the book of Job we read, "And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Friends, whenever there is dryness and barrenness in our lives because of a closed heaven, it is there you will find the activity of Satan's demonic power. It is a breeding ground for Satan to work. It is there he finds a dwelling place. It is there that he finds a foothold in those who are living in dry places. Or if you like, for those who are living in disobedience. Remember the thing that God requires of us, friends: if we know how to do good and we don't do it, it becomes sin to us. We disobey God. And as long as there is sin in our lives, and church, we need to hear this, as long as there is sin in our lives, the heavens will remain brass over our heads, and Satan will increase the territory under his domain. That's the negative side. The last few weeks we've been talking about the river of God. We've been talking about the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We talked about this river living inside of us, the Holy Spirit abiding within. We've talked about this river not only abiding, but out of us shall flow rivers of living water. We've talked about this river giving life wherever it goes and touches. We've talked about the river of God coming when we're together as a corporate body of his people. Last week, Steve spoke to us about how easy it is to grieve the Spirit of God, to quench the Holy Spirit. And then he talked about how we need to stir up the gift of God which is within us. Friends, there is a river, and it dwells inside of each one of us. And friends, I want to say this morning that when we are talking about the river of God, wherever the river of God is flowing, then friends, it is there that Satan cannot coexist with the manifest presence of God. Whenever God's river is flowing in your life and mine, whenever we are full of the Holy Ghost, Satan can't coexist there. It's not a dry place. The presence of God, friends, is greater at any time than the presence of demonic power. That's why we need to cherish the river of God. The devil is powerless when we walk in unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Powerless. That's why the Word of God says, don't give him any place. Don't give him any foothold. Don't give him any legal right whatsoever. Wherever the Spirit of God is, the anointing of God, that anointing destroys the yokes that Satan puts upon mankind. And Satan can't coexist with the presence of God. That's why he hates praise and worship. That's why he hates God's people bringing glory to Jesus. Because he can't exist there. The river of God, friends, brings life. Not deadness, dryness. So we need to ask the question this morning, what kind of heaven are we living under this morning? What kind of heaven are we living under this morning? Breaking through heavens of brass is still the key to revival. Opening doors of blessing to the people of God, whereas disobedience shuts the heavens. The fruit of obedience still is an open heaven over our heads. And the Bible says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of your God. I wonder this morning, what kind of heaven are you living under? Are you living under a heaven that is opened and the blessing of God pouring in upon your life? Or are you this morning living under a closed heaven through areas of disobedience that you haven't repented from? Jesus was born under thickened skies. The world had resisted, friends, the work of God for 400 years. The Bible says the people sat in darkness. When Jesus made his way to Jordan to be baptized of John, the scripture records that when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven came saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Notice what it says there, friends. The heavens were opened to him. The heavens, after 400 years where the heavens had been closed, and there was no revelation of the Word of God, and the people sat in great darkness, suddenly a man comes up out of the Jordan, and to him the heavens were opened. I want to tell you, friends, to the man or woman who pleases God, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." To the man or the woman who pleases God, God will still open the heavens. God will still open the heavens over our lives if we are walking and pleasing God. Jesus' ministry, for the brief three and a half years, it was conducted under an open heaven. Hallelujah. He went around doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Friends, if you want to look at a man who was walking under an open heaven, look at Jesus. The heavens were open to him. He went around destroying the yokes of Satan wherever he went. You know, friends, to destroy the yoke of Satan, Satan's yoke has got to be first destroyed in our lives. Give no place to the devil. Give him no foothold. Heavens, the heavens over Jesus' life only closed briefly. In fact, there's only one time I can ever see the heavens closing. And that's when he hung upon the cross. And the Bible says in Isaiah, he bore the sin of many. That's when my sin and yours was upon him. And God Almighty, his Father, turned his back upon him. And the cry came from the lips of Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because for the first time in his life, he knew that there was a closed heaven. He knew that heaven was closed to him there on the cross because of our sakes, or for our sakes. We read in the book of John of Nathanael, one of the disciples being introduced to Jesus. Remember, it was Jesus who said about this man, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Before Philip saw you under the fig tree, I saw you, Nathanael. And Jesus said some staggering words to Nathanael. Jesus said these words. He said, from here on in, he said, you will, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In other words, he was saying to Nathanael, Nathanael, this is what you're going to see. You are going to know what it's like to live under an open heaven. You are going to know what it's like to live with God's blessing in your life. For Nathanael, he spent 3 years with Jesus. And with his own eyes, he watched the Master put to flight the devil. With his own eyes, friends, he saw the devil put to flight. He saw fears banished. Blind eyes opened. He saw the lame people walking. He saw yokes being destroyed. He saw lifelong captives being freed forever from demonic possession, physical affliction, spiritual oppression. Nathanael saw all these things with his eyes. Jesus said, you'll see the heaven opened. You'll see angels ascending. He wasn't talking literally about what Jacob saw with angels ascending and descending, the ladder that went to heaven. He was talking about the manifestation of his ministry. Nathanael, you will see what it's like to live under an open heaven. You will see what it's like to see people released and freed and set free. You will know what it's like to be in my presence and to know the joy of the Lord and the blessing of God upon your life. Why did those men want to be with him, friends? Simply because of the blessing that was upon his life that was now upon theirs. We talked the other week about Jesus being anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. He was good to be with. They wanted to be with him. And the call of Jesus to every child of God is to walk just as he walked. The Lord's promise to Nathanael, if you walk as Jesus walked, you too will see heaven open over your life, Nathanael. And I want to say, friends, this is the only way we can live under God's blessing, when we live under an open heaven. When we live in right relationship with God and with one another. It is the only way we can see the blessing of God upon our lives. Jesus never meant for the miraculous life to be limited only to himself. He ordained that every one of us should walk in the miraculous. That we are given to him for signs and wonders. The record of the early church is one where God opened heaven to them. You can't just read the book of Acts but realize they were operating, friends, under an open heaven. The church grew and multiplied. Miracles, signs and wonders were being done. People were being saved and healed, delivered from satanic oppression. I get excited every time I read the book of Acts. These were people who lived under an open heaven. They knew what it was to live under the blessing of God. Psalm 1 describes what will happen to the person who keeps the word of God. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It shall bear its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither, and whatever that person does will prosper. That's what it's like to live under the blessing of God. The ungodly are not so. But friends, we can now live under an open heaven. Thank God for that. We can live our lives with the blessing of God. The devil is powerless when we walk in unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Powerless. He may have the ability to do evil, but he hasn't got the authority to do evil. We don't give room away. Give him no place. No legal right to live in our lives or to affect our lives when we are walking with God. Job was walking with God. And the devil had to ask God's permission before he could touch him. And if we are walking with God, friends, let me tell you, no evil shall befall us. No evil. Because God is with us. That's why we need to keep our spirits strong. By feeding upon the word of God, by meditating in that word day and night, keeping full of the Holy Ghost, that's what we've been talking about these last few weeks, keeping full of the anointing and the Spirit of God, not neglecting fellowship together as the people of God. Friends, Sunday is not enough for you as a child of God. You need fellowship midweek. You need to connect with God's people midweek. I make no apologies for saying that. You will never grow as a Christian if you don't. There may be circumstances when it becomes impossible for you to meet with God's people midweek. But for the majority of us, we can all find what we want to do when we want to do it. And we'll all do what we want to do, what we want to do. I pray that God will put great desires in our hearts to meet with each other, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. By doing that, we'll keep our spirits strong. It'll do us good. And keep praying without ceasing. The effectual, fervent prayers of righteous people, they avail much. So the bottom line is this. It is my responsibility to keep the heavens open over my head. And it is your responsibility too, to keep the heavens open over our heads. If we are to live under God's blessing, this is the only way we can live under the blessing of God. Walking in obedience opens them. Walking in disobedience closes them. I asked the question this morning, how many of us would like to live with the blessing of God upon our lives? How many put their hands up? The question is this morning, how many of us are living under an open heaven? That is only something that we can answer ourselves. It may be the Holy Spirit, friends, puts his spotlight on some areas where the heavens are closed. The earth's like iron. Heavens are brass. Because somewhere along the line, we have felt the tugs of the Holy Spirit telling us that we needed to adjust and rectify our ways and turn back to God. And we still carry on doing our own thing. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I thank God, friends, this morning he has made provision for us to live under an open heaven. One thing I long for, desire, is that not only individually we will live under an open heaven, but our church shall come to a place where heaven's opened above us. And we will see things happening here, friends, because of an open heaven. And it's the responsibility of every one of us to pray to that end, to fast, to seek God, so that as a fellowship, we will enter into a new day. I believe Israel entered into a new day when they crossed over. I declared a few weeks ago, I believe as a church we've entered into a new day. But friends, I want to tell you, it can happen quickly. I believe in God's suddenlies, don't you? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. Suddenly they were all affected that were in the house. God is a God of suddenlies. And I don't know how it will take place or when it will take place, but I do know this. If God was to open heaven above our fellowship, we would see a difference. We would see an immediate difference for God to come. We long for God to live under an open heaven individually, as a church. How about in the Tees Valley, friends, if God was to open heaven over the Tees Valley and change our region? Only God can change our region, you know that, don't you? God was to bring an open heaven over us here in the Tees Valley, that it becomes really easy for people to get saved. People are getting healed, and we're hearing reports all over the place of what God's doing right over the valley. Friends, I'm not too concerned. I thank God for the church that he's building in the Tees Valley. It's not just about New Life Church. It's about his church. And if our brothers and sisters prosper and God opens heaven over their church, we say amen. We want God to bless every church. But what if God was to begin to bless the churches so much with an open heaven that suddenly the whole of the valley got affected, eh? Hallelujah. And then what about our nation, friends? If God was to open, you know, people feel it in this nation. I know David's traveled quite extensively. Preachers who travel, they tell us there is a difference when they step off the plane in this nation. Something that they can't see physically, but something that they feel in their spirits. That they can go to another country, they can preach the same message and see thousands get saved. Thousands healed. Why? Because as a nation, that country hasn't turned its back on the laws of God like we have. Friends, there are some of these African nations who God is just sweeping through. The power of God is moving. Evangelists like Reinhard Bonnke are seeing a tremendous harvest being gathered in. God's combine harvester going through the nations. What if God was to do it in our nation, eh? Well, it begins with the individual. And as an individual, it affects the church. And if the churches were affected, then the area is going to be affected. And if the area is affected, an area can begin to affect a nation. That's what happened in Wales. In the Principality of Wales, Wales was affected powerfully when God opened the heavens over them. Friends, it didn't only affect Wales. It affected the entire nation of England. We hear reports of what God did in parts of England during the Welsh Revival. May God do it. How do we live under the blessing of God? We live under an open heaven. And how do we keep heaven opened? By walking in obedience. How do we close it? By walking in disobedience. Either one, we see the effects on the earth. The blessing or the cursing. And it is my prayer that we'll all desire to live under an open heaven. Amen.